On behalf of His Excellency Bishop Kelly, the bishops, priests, and brothers of the Congregation of St. Pius V, Mother Mary Bosco, and the Daughters of Mary, I wish you all a very blessed and happy Easter. The epistle for the Feast of Easter is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 7. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new paste, as you are unleavened. For Christ our Pasch is sacrificed. Therefore let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 15. At that time, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought sweet spices, that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. And they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who saith to them, "Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be not affrighted, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, for many of us, it would be a difficult and terrifying thing to stand before the judgment seat of one's persecutors. Just as it was for many of the martyrs of the ancient church during the Roman persecutions. It would take a firm confidence and an overwhelming hope in our divine Savior to undergo all of the terrible sufferings that the martyrs endured. Thus it was for Margaret, as she stood before the judgment seat of the Roman governor and her accusers. This particular Margaret had had a difficult life. She had many trials and crosses in life. She was born of pagan parents, and her mother died when she was quite young. Nevertheless, she was nursed and raised by a pious woman, and so later, when she grew older, Margaret converted to the Catholic faith. However, her father was a pagan priest, and he did not approve of her conversion. In fact, he gave her a very difficult time concerning her Catholic beliefs, and he mocked her and made life for Margaret very difficult. In fact, her father completely disowned her when one day Margaret told her father that she had dedicated her virginity to Almighty God. But Margaret nevertheless persevered in her faith. As she grew older, she was hired as a shepherdess. And one day, as she was watching the flocks of her mistress, a Roman official was attracted by her beauty and wanted to sin with her. Neither flattery nor force could induce Margaret to consent to sin. And so, in his rage, the Roman official brought her to a public trial and brought her before the governor of the province, where she was accused of her crime of being a Catholic. Now, this particular Roman governor despised Catholics and the Catholic faith. In fact, he took pleasure in ordering the torture and death of many Christians. And so, filled with a domineering and prideful power, the governor threatened Margaret with death if she did not give up her Catholic faith. Margaret, full of hope and confidence in our divine Savior, remained steadfast during this terrible trial. No matter what cruel torture instruments they brought before her eyes, no matter the threats and the continual mockeries, no matter the empty promises of wealth and a high position in court, Margaret would not give in. She would not deny her Catholic faith. The soldiers therefore tied her up, and they tried to burn her, to set her on flames. But the flame of charity burned more than those physical flames. The flame of charity burned more in her heart, and so miraculously the flames left her unharmed. And so again, Margaret was brought before the infuriated governor. And he really hated Catholics and the Catholic faith. He hated the fact that men would honor and worship a poor, lowly carpenter, a poor man who was wretchedly crucified with common thieves. "How foolish," he mockingly exclaimed. "How foolish it is to worship a man, a mere man, as if he were God." Above all, the governor continued, "How foolish to worship a man who came to such a disgraceful end as crucifixion." The beautiful Margaret, whom we know today as Saint Margaret, stood there courageously, looking straight up at the governor. There was no fear or trembling in her voice, but with a calm confidence, a voice full of hope, she said, "Why do you always bring up his crucifixion? Why do you always bring up his crucifixion and never mention his resurrection?" And St. Margaret continued, she said, "His death showed that Christ was a man, but his resurrection shows and proves Christ to be God." You see, my dear faithful, Margaret had so much hope and confidence, even at the threat of martyrdom, even at the threat of death itself, because she knew that all of the promises that Christ made were true and were really from God. Because Christ raised himself back to life, and only the God-man can raise himself back to life. My dear faithful, in the Gospel of today's Mass, the Gospel tells us of the first Easter Sunday. It was very early Sunday morning. Our divine Savior had been cruelly crucified the preceding Friday. After hanging for an agonizing 3 hours, the Son of God was buried in the sepulchre. Yet because it was the Pasch, the holy woman Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Mary of Salome were not able to anoint our Lord's wounded body with precious and sweet-smelling oils as they wanted to properly care for the body. And so the holy woman went early to the sepulchre. But when they arrived, to their surprise, the great stone that covered the tomb was rolled back. And looking in the tomb, they did not find our divine Savior's body. Rather, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, wearing a bright white robe. And this man said to them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here, but behold the place where they laid him." The other Marys left. St. Mary Magdalene, it was, who stayed there at the sepulchre. And it was to St. Mary Magdalene then that our divine Savior revealed himself. However, my dear faithful, before appearing to St. Mary Magdalene, St. Teresa of Avila tells us that our Lord first appeared privately to someone else. She tells us that our Lord first appeared privately to his own Holy Mother. And St. Teresa of Avila says that our Lord spent a considerable amount of time with her. And he did this because she was so imbued with sorrow that it took some time to dissipate this sorrow. Like the healing of any great wound, it takes time. During these past 3 days, the Blessed Mother never wavered in her faith. She never doubted that her son would rise. In fact, that is why she did not even go to the tomb with the other Marys. During all the sufferings and trials, Mary, the Blessed Mother, never murmured. She never complained. She never said or thought, "Why me? My son is God. Why do I have all of these crosses?" But rather, she shared so much in the torments of her son that it took a while to completely dissipate her sadness, even though she was at the time, from the first moment she saw our risen Savior, her risen son. As you can imagine, she was filled with unspeakable joy. But it's just that the wounds in her soul had to be healed by the unction of his presence. And our Lord had to, so to speak, slowly and gently pull out from her heart the swords of sorrow. And then, my dear faithful, our divine Savior appeared to St. Mary Magdalene. And this is what we call his first public appearance. He revealed himself to this great penitent even before he revealed himself to his apostles. At the tomb, St. Mary Magdalene was crying. She was crying because she thought someone had stolen the dead body of our Lord. It seemed that our Lord was not there during this terrible trial and crisis. In the midst of her tears, she noticed the gardener, or whom she thought to be the gardener. But it was really Jesus. And Jesus asked her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" Mary Magdalene said to him, "Sir, if thou hast taken him from hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Notice how Mary Magdalene says "him," refers to our Lord as "him." She was presuming the gardener knew who she was talking about. And Jesus replied with a soft and gentle voice. He simply said her name, Mary. At once, Mary knew who it was. And her heart was flooded with joy. Her tears of sorrow turned into tears of joy. And she turned to him, to her master, and she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus told Mary to go to the other apostles, to announce to them, he said, that I have risen from the dead. Let us, my dear faithful, go with Mary Magdalene. Let us be really resolved to take the lessons that we have learned this Lent and to live accordingly, striving to keeping the commandments better, staying closer to Our Lady, being devoted to her, for she is truly our mother, as our Savior gave us his mother from the cross. Let us make our faith more important in our families and in our own lives. And let us remember with confidence that the Sacred Heart is always there for us, even during all of our times of trials and our crosses. Let us remember that with every cross that comes our way, that if we bear them with patience, if we bear them with love and even joy, like our Savior and like the Blessed Virgin Mary, we will likewise have a glorious resurrection in paradise. And my dear faithful, let us on this Easter Sunday, let us rejoice. Let us rejoice because we were once dead in sin, but through the life and passion and the resurrection of our King, our Good Shepherd, we now have life. May God bless you, and may you have a holy and blessed Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.